Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
One thing quickly first, just seeing from Canadian journalist Rick Westhead, he's not someone whose name I know well, but he's been a strong voice on the Blackhawks story. He just tweeted a few minutes ago that on SportsCenter, that'd be TSN tonight, the player at the center of the sexual abuse scandal will be interviewed, and he has asked TSN to reveal his identity.
Oh, wow.
So that's tonight.
Wow. That'll be heavy.
Well, I was swiftly corrected earlier when I said that Sal has not been on our show in a while because, just selfishly, I left out Monday because I wasn't here. Turns out, at that point, I hadn't been on the show in a while either. So, but we're happy to have, I think I speak for Bulldog, Sal Capaccio with us here on the West Her Hotline. Sal, how was your trip?
It was great. It was awesome. I know when I was on without you, I told Bulldog there that we took a trip to Kennedy Space Center, and it really blew me away.
Yes.
It was really cool. I had never been there before, so it was really nice. It was short, but it was good. Came back, dude, perfect Saturday night. Went to the Sabres game Monday night, so we've still been busy, but yeah, it's been nice.
Did Max do that green screen where he looks like he's an astronaut looking up at, you know, the moon or something?
No, but they do a picture before you get on the bus to go over to the launch pad area where they do a green screen behind you, and they do one where it's just like NASA something, and then you cover your ears because there's a launch going on basically behind you. We did that as a family.
Right. They make you. They take that picture. Now you can go in.
Yeah, exactly.
We have this picture of you that we will try to sell you at the end.
Yes, which we never really buy. We've only done one time. We've bought that picture. That was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 4 years ago.
I bought, you know, at Disney, there's that Toy Story ride where you shoot at the targets.
Yep.
I bought that picture once with, I think, my daughter and me in it. I never do this, but I'm buying that picture where it's just us, like this shocked face, just this candy, you know, this quick shot they take of you as you're riding on that ride.
That's great.
All right. Well, your trip is over. The Bills bye week and break is over. Joe just had this nugget about trade speculation that is coming up.
Yeah.
Do you think it's reminiscent of some of our conversations before the season started? Like, hey, they're really deep at defensive end. Something's got to give here. Could you see a trade?
I could. When the name Jerry Hughes gets thrown out, though, that's tough for me to swallow because, you know, he's the longest tenured Bill here. Him along with Reed Ferguson are the only two players left on the team who are here during the Rex Ryan era. And, you know, for him to be with this organization this long is as much as they feel, and I know they feel he's a leader, he's a guy that's really helped them. He still has some good metrics for pressure rates and things like that. To pull that cord now, it wouldn't sit right with me right now. I mean, I'd have to see what it is and why. It's not like you need the salary cap space or anything like that. So you better, you know, Mario Addison's a little different. You know, he's been here a couple of years, and sure, if another team wants him, they feel they need a little veteran presence. I understand you can trim some of the fat, so to speak, at the position. I mean, every week, look, AJ Epenesa's inactive. You know, whoever, Boogie Basham, would want to get on the field. I have a tough time swallowing Jerry Hughes at this point, you know, if that's the case.
I'm inclined to agree with that, Sal. Addison is very different than Hughes, just on tenure alone, if not performance too. As
right.
I say, Addison isn't a helpful player, but man, to be, I would guess that, and I know the guys are hardened, and it's pro sports, and you know it's business, and that's what everybody says when things like that happen, and there's truth in it. But man, I would guess it would not go over really well with this group if Jerry Hughes, after all the time he's been here, and they feel like they're close to going to the Super Bowl or winning a Super Bowl, like that's what this year is all about, and you're going to trade him for what? I mean, a third or something? Like what are you going to? I don't know. There have to be some corresponding move that you're going to improve something else on your roster. And I don't know what that spot would be, Sal, but, man, I don't think it would go over well, my guess would be, with the players if they move Jerry Hughes off this team right now.
I agree. And he is still a starter. He is someone that no matter who is opposite of him every week, which seems like it's Greg Russo now, he's still a guy that, you know, you rely on. And you're right. I think to go all this way with him, for all the roster turnover they've had since 2017, and especially after 2018 – or after the 2017 season into 2018, for all that roster turnover, for everybody they got rid of this team who was on it, this is the guy that's stayed here. This is the guy that's been here. This is the guy that, you know, they've said, you know what, he's still a part of what we believe in here. And he's a pro. Jerry's a pro's pro. He really is. He fits everything you want. So, and you're right, Bulldog, in the locker room itself, it'd be hard to see that going over very well. I'm looking at his salary cap numbers right now. You know, it's a little different because of this time of the year. His base salary is $6.1 million, so the next team would be responsible for like four something. You'd be saving that on the cap, but I can't imagine at this point that would matter that much.
So, Sal, I was thinking about this question earlier today, and I was struggling with how I wanted to word it. You know, we've talked from time to time about how if the Bills are able to sort of pull away in the division, or maybe they're even, you know, we're at this sort of mindset in September with the competition they faced, how like whatever form it might take on, like you hold stuff back, whether that's plays or formations or just whatever, like this idea that maybe New England, for example, over the years didn't show you all their cards until the playoffs, and then you get them in the playoffs, like, oh, we haven't prepared for this, that kind of thing. I want to find out first if you agree with the premise.
That during the regular season you hold things back maybe for a certain game?
For a certain game. We did get that on the Bills-Chiefs game, right? We got that they had planned for a long mm-hmm. time, different looks, so we know this exists sometimes in the league. It's just why I'm struggling to phrase the question is, like, we all look at the Bills schedule and go, like, come on. This is a joke. Miami, Jets, Jaguars here coming up. But we also know that the team never acknowledges that, right? They fight that off.
Sure.
They fight that
yep.
whatever temptation there might be to think, like, this is an easy game. They always are in denial about it. What's real here? Like, would the Bills play these next few weeks out a certain way? And how do you do it if you wanted to?
So I think, yeah, I think I understand exactly what you're saying, Mike. And I would say it this way. You always have different things that you have in your back pocket that you are saving or ready to use that you only pull out if you need to pull them out. A game like this, if you don't need to pull it out, don't pull it out. The game like next week, same thing. They're not things that you necessarily – now, there's week-to-week game plan. There's week-to-week where, hey, this might work against X team or whatever. That's fine. But, for example, fake punt against New England last year, right? I bet you New England did to them in Buffalo the year before. They wanted the fake punt, knowing how – you know, they're going to New England. They're trying to – this is our division now. I don't think they wanted to show that until they got to New England. Like that – but you know what? They would do it if they needed to. But we don't want to – we do not – we're going to work on this – we are not going to show this. We are not. We are saving it for the New England Patriots. That is our game to do this. But if it happens before the season, before that, and we're in a tight game and we feel like we have to do this, we're going to do it. And I think that's the approach this week, which is in the next few weeks. Hey, we got these things we can do. Why show them? Now, there's the inverse as well, which is, and this is true, this happens. They could do things against these teams where there's more margin for error. So let's put it on film so that teams down the road have to prepare for it, even though we'll never actually use it.
Right. Yeah. Like I like the idea of having something in your hip pocket, but you don't want to use it if this game is like we think it's going to go, right? Like if you're,
right.
if you're you know, winning by 17. But if for some reason it doesn't go that way, and in the fourth quarter you're only ahead by 3 or you're down by 4 or something, like, hey, you know that thing we've been working on? Yeah,
yep.
Now, right?
That's exactly.
Because,
right.
You know, you want to win the game, right? I mean, so if you've got something that will work and the timing's right, then, okay, well, we'll have to come up with something else to surprise somebody with down the road here, and hopefully you have enough of a reservoir of those kinds of things that you can keep going to it.
And again, how many times can you go back to those things? So you have to mix it up. So, you know, Dallas on Thanksgiving, they hand it to John Brown. He throws it to Devin Singletary. I mean, that's something that even, if I remember correctly, Brian Daboll basically said, yeah, that's something we work on basically going back to training camp, knowing who can do it. But you don't necessarily have to bring it out every week or 1 week. And you save it and you save it. And then it comes time where you're like, hey, Thanksgiving, national television, good team. This is when we're doing it. They could do it before that. They actually did a play like that earlier in the season that year against New England, and it didn't work out. It was T.J. Yeldon, if you remember, in the end zone. Was it that year? Maybe it was a different one. But those are things you might do. You just can't bring them out again, so you have to have a different way to do that. So, yes, Mike, I would say there are things that are specifically saved that you do not use, but you've already repped them. You've already worked on them. But you're not really ready to put them out yet unless you absolutely need to.
Just also, like, I think in the back of your mind the whole time would be, like, you're saving this for the playoffs. Nobody better find out that I'm saving anything for the playoffs. Because, I mean, that's cocky. So I just wonder, I mean, it'd be probably different philosophies coach to coach. By the way, when you mentioned fake punt, not exactly a fake punt, but I'm thinking about the play in Tennessee. I'm curious for your opinion on this. My take on the home run throwback thing that Tennessee tried in that game is that, okay, funny, kind of weird in the second quarter, whenever that was, different than, you know, the game is on the line. If I were Sean McDermott, I would have been ticked. Like, you're going to try that on me? I feel like he might have been mad at that.
I'll tell you how Murph reacted, and I kind of share the same sentiment, which is, like, basically, like, what, these guys weren't even born yet when that happened. Like, what are you trying to prove? Like, you're trying to rub who's these guys' noses in it or something? Yeah. Remind everybody? I mean, what was that for? That was for show. That was it. So you could be right. He might be ticked. At the same time, he might have been like, okay, go ahead and do something like that. Like, you did it wrong. We, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, go ahead. I wasn't here, and I guess it matters to the organizations, but yeah, it was kind of weird, but that's an instance where clearly they saved that for the Bills game, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Because of what happened. I mean, that's that instance. They probably just worked on it that week and said, let's do this on national TV to remind everybody. But yeah, I mean, the Bills players playing now had absolutely nothing to do with that. So what are you doing?
I like that point.
I don't know that I've ever been more aware that I was being trolled and that I let it work, because it made me insane. Sal. Like, I was so upset when that happened in that game. Even the earlier, the guy, like, faking it on the kickoff return before that, I was just like, get out of here. Like, I hate Tennessee forever and ever. Amen now. Like, this is
so, Mike,
not that it needed to, not that I needed that, but it just enhanced my hatred of that franchise so much.
Right, right. And so, listen, I think going back to what you mentioned earlier, Mike, which is, like, saving things, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills now at least have in the back of their mind, Sean McDermott, wouldn't be surprised if, hey, if we meet that team again, we're going to have something special planned. Like, whatever that is, I would not be surprised, to your point of, what are you doing? Come on, getting ticked, and oh, you want to troll us? Okay, we're going to have something up our sleeve for the next time we play you.
What did it mean to you that the Bills lost that game? Like, certainly winnable, obviously. Is it anything more than that? I mean, just like a close, good game that they lost? I mean, were there any sort of warning signs from it?
No, it's the NFL. We see it every week. It happens. I was disappointed in the defense giving up 34 points, but I think that can happen against, you know, you give up one or two big runs like they did, and Tannehill was on. And, you know, the way McDermott explained it after game basically was they started committing a little more to the run, and that leaves guys out on an island, and they have good players. We talked about that. I was disappointed, I still am, in the fact they couldn't get to Ryan Tannehill, considering that was a big advantage they should have had in the game. You know, they didn't have any sacks. So not warning signs, just one of those games where hey, like, what happened here? Like, they didn't have their A game necessarily on that side of the ball. They still scored 31 points on offense. They missed out on some red zone opportunities, obviously. But to me, Mike, it's football. It's Monday night. It's on the road. It's against a good football team. No warning signs. You know, you have to just recover and make sure that you know that, you know, every week anything like this can happen in the league.
McDermott today on the Dolphins, I mean, he really pumped them up. He's got some hot coals he'll be dancing on here for a few weeks with his schedule. Now, look at their roster. I've done that, and I don't know. But, you know, this is what he does and what coaches do. Are they dangerous to you? How dangerous is Miami?
Well, a lot of times what I do is I think about, and I was doing this yesterday, what's the path to victory for Miami Dolphins win? If we're sitting here on Monday going, oh, my God, I can't believe the Bills lost, how did that happen? And the only way I can see it happening between these two teams are they have to have some big plays. Like, they got to make a few big plays, like a special teams play, a defensive score. Jalen Waddle gets loose down the sideline for a touchdown. Like, that's got to happen. And you got to make some critical mistakes as well to keep them in the game, turn the ball over, whatever. I think that's the gap between the two teams. Are they dangerous? I think they can be if they have a couple of those things go their way, because we saw that happen last year with this team. They had a couple of things go their way in games, a lot of games. They had special teams touchdowns, defensive touchdowns. They're very willing to do things on special teams. We've seen that from Danny Crossman. We've even seen it against the Buffalo Bills a couple of times. Like, that's how they can be dangerous. But I just think that you got to have all of that kind of go your way for them to be able to beat the Bills.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
How big a deal, no knocks? We don't know how long, right, but definitely not Sunday. How big a deal? He's having a nice year here so far.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal for how good of a year he's having. You know, I think it's a big deal for what you want to do with your offense, how you've integrated him, the matchup that he creates, because you're not getting that same matchup situation with Tommy Sweeney. I do think, though, that having a guy like Reggie Gilliam helps. You know, you can kind of really work him in different scenarios and ways and really to your advantage, maybe, because the other team hasn't seen him a lot do all these different things yet. He's not on the field very often. He was last game in Kansas City as well. But Tommy Sweeney, as you guys have heard me say many times, great hands. The guy just catches everything. He's just not the athlete of the mismatch that Dawson Knox is, but you can rely on him in the passing game. You can rely on him in the run game. So in this against this team, for the next few weeks, I don't think it's as big of a deal if they were playing some of the more heavy hitters of the league or the conference, if you will. But yeah, I mean, it's a loss, because he's having a sensational season, and he's a guy that you really rely on to be a big part of your offense.
Quickly, do you have like a player who benefits the most? Like, maybe just Sweeney plays Knox's role, or maybe we see Davis or somebody else step up.
Keep your eye on Kahale Waring.
Okay.
He is the practice squad tight end that they have. You know, I saw him out there working today, and he was talking a lot with Rob Boris, their tight ends coach, and I just kept thinking, I wonder if they elevate him this week. Now, he may not play. I just think that could be a guy that maybe he gets some run this week. Maybe he plays a little bit. I do think Reggie Gilliam comes into play a lot here, though, Mike, to answer your question about who could benefit the most on the field. I think it's Reggie Gilliam. I think he has a bigger role because of this.
All right. Waring, former Houston Texan.
Yeah.
One quickie. Joe Flacco was traded to the Jets by the Eagles a day or two ago. Wouldn't you be there by now if you were Flacco? Like, he's just going to take his time showing up.
Is he not there yet? I don't even know.
He's not active this week. He's just not there yet.
Well, you know, I know he should know. You know, does he know the system, new OC and everything? I don't know. It takes a little time,
does
I guess.
Does he care about the system? Is he going to call the real plays anyway if they put him on the field?
They still haven't put Wilson on IR, though, right? I don't think so.
I don't think so. White was announced for this week. And when is that game? I get the Colts and the Jets game mixed up. Which game comes first?
The Jets game is in 3 weeks. So if he's put on IR, he misses that game. If he's not, he can come back for that game. But my sense is he will be not playing in that game. And they have until here's what you'll see. Saturday at 4 p.m. is the deadline, basically, for any transactions this week. If they feel he's going to probably be out three games, they'll put him on IR. They can save the roster spot. If he's not put on IR, that means they probably feel he's going to come back for the Bills game.
Yeah, that's right, because the injury seems like at least a two-week injury.
Correct.
All right. Thank you, Sal.
Okay, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.